Hello.
Hello.
So sorry, I fell fucking asleep.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You're a piece of shit.
What the fuck?
Hey, what's up, pal? I was on Instagram, dude.
Stupid.
You jerkle.
What are you talking about today?
So, we're gonna talk about Ice Cube versus NWA.
What the fuck?
Piss me off, like, for no reason, huh?
Why?
I fucking hate Ice Cube.
Just a little history lesson for today.
Oh, God.
What did I just finish? I finished Tems's album.
Tems. Oh, yeah. That's a good one. J. Cole actually performing.
Mm-hmm.
You want to join the stream, sir?
He's a quitter, bro. We don't mention his name no more.
He's a quitter.
You don't think that maybe he's like the... He took the adult, the high road, the adult way?
Ew.
Oh,
no.
Sorry, my bad. My fault.
Like, if we want to look at it that way, he can never pop his shit about being the best no more.
Yeah.
Like, he just absolutely cannot.
Right. That's fair. That's fair. With that being said, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode here on the Untitled Mixtape. I hope everyone is doing well. I am Danko. And of course, I am joined with the boys, Lorenzo.
I watched Inside Out 2. I cried.
How much?
It was good. I don't know.
Oh, shit.
The ending part was so intense. It was like... I felt that shit.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
It was great, though.
New movie, right? Would you recommend it?
Absolutely. It was really good, though.
Hell yeah. And, of course, we have Lewis.
Hey, what's up, dude?
Hey, how you doing, sir?
Lorenzo went to sleep.
Oh, yeah. There's that,
that's
too.
That's my fun fact of the day that I thought he was going to say, but, you know.
We missed you last episode, bud.
Who?
You.
You.
I didn't know about it.
Oh. Okay.
Hey, bro, I didn't know about it.
That's fair. In a short sentence, I want you to tell me how you feel about Aaron Hawthorne. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. It's good to have different opinions.
Nah, like, I don't know, listening, like, it was pissing me off, bro. Like the beats and, like, oh, that was fire, but his voice, I didn't like it. I don't like his voice.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to me, his voice doesn't fit. No, it fits, but he shouldn't be, like, in the front. I feel like somebody else with, like, a better voice should be up front, and he could be, like, in the background or something.
Okay.
Mm.
I feel like he has, like, great, like, harmonizing vocals. Like, he could harmonize good with somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
But just him being, like, the main act doesn't, I don't know, it doesn't really go to me.
That's fair. Well, I appreciate it. For those
I can see that, actually.
For those who don't know, we're talking about the Mayor Hawthorne episode last week as well.
I can see that, though. Not saying I agree, but I could see what you mean, for sure.
Yeah.
So, I have a fun fact, because I wanted to do this more.
Fuck you, Lewis. I love Mayor Hawthorne. That's your fun fact.
We're actually canceling the podcast now.
Just never been upset in my life.
No. It's the whole point of this podcast is we all don't have to agree. And but my fun fact, speaking of that kind of music, today, in 1965, the Four Tops scored their first number one hit on Billboard Hot 100 with Sugar Pie Honey Bunch. Or I Can't Help Myself.
Sugar Pie Honey Bunch.
Yeah.
So
I just can't help myself. Sorry.
It's a good song. Yeah, it was the biggest R&B hit of the year. And it's still kind of labeled as one of the greatest songs of all time. As far as 500, like a list of 500 goes, yeah, it's up there. So
they consider that R&B?
Yes.
Actually,
what
I would say it probably has the foundations of it, as it being, I mean, rhythm and blues and R&B are two different conversations, even though they kind of are the same. Rhythm and
they're
blues
supposed to be the same, but I feel different. Like it's like completely different.
Yeah,
like I would consider that song more like soul.
True. Soul, doo-wop, a little bit,
yeah,
of doo-wop in there.
But like at the same time, I feel like my view on R&B is like only what I'm used to, you know, like growing up, like Brandy and stuff like that. So that's R&B to me, and I can't like see anything else.
Yeah,
being R&B.
When people,
but I mean, it probably was back then.
People use the description R&B, especially for older artists, they should be saying rhythm and blues. Because R&B is like the newer version of like that. But yeah, people kind of use it synonymously. So yeah, R&B is a word, but I agree with you. It should be just like soul, doo-wop kind of music.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which we'll definitely go over in episodes, especially when we do genre episodes. You'll notice that like I'll use genres where you'll be like, what? But, you know, genres evolve over time, and then they split up. But that's my fun fact. Another fun fact, or I should say happy birthday, Under Oath's They're Only Chasing Safety actually turned 20 today.
Damn.
So I'll say that.
It's 20 years old.
Shut the hell up, bro. No fucking way.
Everything hurts.
That shit did not come out in 2004.
Yes, it did.
Shut up, bro.
And this is the day of recording, which is June 15th, is actually the 20th birthday of They're Only Chasing Safety. Also, the Killers' Hot Fuss turned 20 this year.
Damn, we are old, everybody.
Did you just
feel your knees twinge a little bit? Holy shit. Gravity has not been kind to us. It is.
Bro,
we are old.
Years, bro.
That's
no
a,
way, dude.
Yeah.
Almost a fully legal adult.
So
that's crazy.
Yeah,
dang.
2004.
20. Bro, I was in middle school, bro.
Feel the knees.
Oh my god, that's weird.
Definitely recommend people who haven't checked this album out. I know a lot of people aren't into post-hardcore, but if there was a post-hardcore album to recommend, it'd probably be this one. It's just great.
But like if it was a post-hardcore band, it would be Under Oath.
Oh yeah, 100%. Yeah, old Under Oath, I'd like to clarify.
Yeah.
Old Under Oath. You know, there's something different nowadays, but that's okay. But yeah, those are some of my fun facts for the episode to start us off, to warm us up. Let's get into it. Bless you.
Blessington.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have an episode for you today. You know, with all this talk of rap beef and Kendrick Lamar versus Drake and J. Cole is out frolicking in the field, I thought we could go back and talk about some history of a rap beef that is probably iconic to many of the early 2000s, early 90s kids. And that, I'm, of course, talking about is Ice Cube versus NWA. Now, I do have to get through a little bit of history of NWA for those who probably haven't listened to NWA, or those who haven't listened to a lot of Ice Cube. We do have a younger audience, so, you know, the lines kind of blur. But how do we feel about, not Ice Cube, but NWA as a whole? Lorenzo.
I don't know, like, now, because you just mentioned that we have a younger audience, so now it's very hard to determine. I'll say NWA is extremely important to, like, hip-hop and what they stood for and how they went about everything made so much sense, and where it came from and why it is the way it is. So I think it's super important to know about NWA. I'm just saying, students, if you go out and listen to their music, don't say Mr. Lorenzo told you so, all right? Don't be doing that shit.
It wasn't us.
Yeah. But do I think they're important for, like, how like they rose and chose to fight with their artistry is important, especially. I think so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Iconic and groundbreaking. Yeah. Like, I feel like they changed the game for a lot, and they paved the way for a lot of people.
Yeah.
This kind of stemmed from me trying to implement. I wanted to do, like, I really do want to do a history of hip hop series, but it's really hard, especially with earlier hip hop, which we'll talk about a little bit here, because NWA came shortly after. I would say the golden age of hip-hop, changing it into something different, which we'll go over. So I was thinking, okay, well, let's just do, instead of doing these long-form part episodes, I'm just going to give a piece of history, a piece of a situation or a moment in time of this genre for this artist. So just, you know, keep different topics, stuff like that. But as Lewis and Lorenzo have said, iconic. Groundbreaking. They definitely defined a genre, and they changed a lot. I love their, I mean, Straight Outta Compton is probably one of the best hip-hop albums. It's fun to listen to. It is, has a lot of, for the time, I would still say, still to this day, has some very, I don't know how to say it, jaw-dropping moments? I don't know. Songs that are still, like, very in your face, even for today's standards. But for those who don't know, we'll go over a little bit of history of NWA, and we'll get into the whole Ice Cube thing. But NWA is actually just, it started as a collective. It was Arabian Prince, Dr. Dre, Eazy-E, and Ice Cube, with DJ Yella and MC Ren joining shortly after. Because NWA, Ice Cube, and Dr. Dre were actually part of separate groups back in the day before NWA was formed. And the manager at the time, what is his name? Jerry Heller. Which he'll be coming up in the story soon anyway.
Hello.
Yeah, DJ or Jerry Heller took Dr. Dre and Ice Cube and said, "Look, we should do a collective. We should, you know, up the ante, get a little more collaboration going." And so NWA was formed. Eazy-E actually started off owning the record company, or he owned the record company that Ice Cube and Dr. Dre and all the artists were going to perform, and he ended up just joining the group anyway. This is important, because he just wanted to do the business. But, like I said, they had a compilation release. This is a bunch of tracks before NWA actually did their debut, and they called it NWA and the Posse. Straight Outta Compton was their debut album, and the thing about Straight Outta Compton is it at the time was kind of jaw-dropping for a lot of people. It didn't see a lot of radio play, but it still, even without the radio play, it sold a million copies and received platinum certification very quickly. It's actually one of the first albums to get the parental advisory sticker on it, of course. And so that in itself is iconic because that whole rating system was coming into play. Yeah, so radio stations refused to play it or give it any airtime. And this is kind of like the culmination of gangsta rap. We're moving from hip-hop to gangsta rap with respect to Ice-T, because Ice-T was still doing stuff at this time. He had just released a single of his own. So why this is important is because it starts to separate what New York was doing at the time and what Los Angeles was doing at the time. Los Angeles really focused on the DJ, hence Dr. Dre. They focused on the more instrumental side of hip-hop, where New York was starting to focus on the MCs themselves. We're talking Curtis Blow, Sugar Hill Gang, Run DMC. And at this, a little bit before Straight Outta Compton is released, Public Enemy probably released their closest contender to the hip-hop in general, and that was It Takes a Nation of Millions to Take Us Down, which is a great album, by the way. But facts. You could really see the difference between New York, which was doing rhymes, they were focusing on the MC at the time, and Los Angeles, or the West Coast, I should say. I should probably just say West Coast and East Coast. West Coast just focused on DJs. But NWA put the MC on the forefront. And so that was the shift, and it was also different, because if you listen to hip-hop back in the day on the East Coast, it was rhymes. It was, at this time, hip-hop was anti-drug, it was anti-discrimination, it was a lot of things, but when the West Coast, when NWA and Ice-T released their stuff, it is against the establishment. It is, I don't want to say glorifying drugs, because they weren't, because there are songs that even demonize weed at the time, if you listen to the NWA album, which Dr. Dre does. And that's ironic, because he does The Chronic a couple years later. But it was more against the establishment, and that's why people were shocked. Shifting from the DJ archetype, the subject matter was so shocking for society, and Straight Outta Compton was so offensive at the time, that the assistant director of the FBI, his name was Mitt Alaric, sent a letter demonizing the group and the song Fuck the Police, which is now in a museum. The letter itself is now in a museum for everyone to see. If you would think anything, do you think it hurt NWA that they got a letter from the FBI?
No. Absolutely not.
It just boosts their notoriety, you know? Like, it didn't it didn't do anything at the time, and it just made them more of a threat. So, like I said, New York, East Coast is the king of hip-hop at this point. And NWA opens up the predecessor. I'm not going to say it started it, but is the premise of the East to West Coast rivalry. Which everyone loves lovely competition. So NWA mentioned, they talked about this being reality rap, aka gangster rap, but they called it, this is their reality. Even though in other interviews they say it's an over dramatization of today's society at the time. It's right in your face, and this is probably the album that put the West Coast on the map for hip hop. With respect to Ice-T's contribution. I want to mention that, because they kind of looked up to Ice-T as well. Some people are going to be like, no, NWA wasn't the first. I know it wasn't. Ice-T's there. So, Straight Outta Compton was a success. It went double platinum and spurred each of the members like Eazy-E, Dr. Dre, and Ice Cube to release solo albums. But before that, it should be mentioned that Ice-T wrote a majority... Ice Cube... released a majority, or wrote a majority of the album. And that's important to remember. They're getting so much traction for this album, they're getting so a lot of profits, and at this time, Ice Cube is looking at Jerry Heller like, I should be making more money, because I wrote Eazy-E's verse. I wrote some of Dr. Dre's verse, and he's trying to make sense of it. Jerry Heller refused to give him a contract to sign. He wouldn't show it. And so Ice Cube, of course, after the debut album of N.W.A., he leaves the group. So, yeah. So essentially, Ice Cube was a ghostwriter, even though Eazy-E says in songs like, hey, Ice Cube writes my verses. because again, this guy is, he wanted to be a record label owner. He didn't want to become a rapper or an artist or an MC. So yeah, Ice Cube leaves shortly after because of royalty disputes. Now, Ice Cube didn't have beef with anyone but Jerry Heller. And a little bit of hate towards Eazy-E, because how Ice Cube says, Ice Cube says it, Jerry Heller was kind of taking advantage of Eazy-E. He's new to the business, he doesn't know exactly how the royalties work, and so Jerry Heller is taking advantage of that, and so Ice Cube left. Now, let's listen to a little bit. Is everyone on my stream? Just to make sure.
Yes.
Si, senor.
Let's listen to a little bit of what happened after, you know, the leaving with Ice Cube. All right.
You know, I ended up calling Dre to see if he wanted to work on my solo record. He was with it. You know what I mean? He wanted to work on my solo record because me and Dre was cool.
Right.
Once, you know, right after the breakup, because he kind of knew what was going on. You know what I mean? So he probably didn't even think it was really gone. Actually split like that.
Right.
So he was down to work on the record. And, you know, we was talking for about a week trying to make sure that's going to happen. And then we heard that Jerry Heller and Eazy-E vetoed that. You know what I mean? So that's when I got on the phone with Chuck D. But
so at the beginning of the breakup, he didn't have any beef with anybody, as you heard. And Dr. Dre was supposed to work on America's Most Wanted, it seems, which is Ice Cube's next solo album. America's Most Wanted comes out. There's no malice, no nothing. There's no mention of NWA or anything. And a little bit after, like, I think it was like a month or two after, NWA releases their second album, which has the smallest, and I'm talking the smallest, diss on a song called 100 Miles and Runnin'. Yeah. I will play just a little bit of that diss. I hope I shared my audio. Let me make sure. All right.
Straight out of Compton.
Nope, that's Vaseline. Don't listen to that one.
And why do we call?
So, this is 100 Miles and Runnin'. I like this album. I like Dr. Dre when he's aggressive, and he's super aggressive in this album. But the smallest diss, here we go. We're going to listen to what they said about Dr. Dre or Ice Cube right here.
Brothers are hot, dick trickling like a sunny motherfuckers are right. Start of a fire, but your one couldn't take it. So now it's four that the fifth couldn't make it.
That's it. Started with five and one couldn't take it. Now there's four because fifth couldn't make it. And that's it. That's the whole diss. And Ice Cube explains it as it came out of nowhere. And it was like, okay, I guess NWA hates me now. And so he responds with a micro diss on a little
movie
that he had. I know. And it was, at this time, it was all fun and games. Like, he was like, okay, they dissed me, whatever. And so Jackin' for Beats is the name of the song that he dissed on. And all it says is right here. It was just,
no, you're gonna wanna kick it with me, but I know none of y'all can get with me. So you think you're protected? Well, you are till you put a funky beat on a record. Then I have to show and prove and use your groove, cause suckers can't fade the cue. And if I track you and you keep coming, I have you marked 100 miles and run.
That's it. That was it.
Dude.
I'll have you running 100 miles and running. That's it.
Beef so back in the day, it was so wholesome.
Right.
It was so cute.
But that's the thing, is like, it's like, okay, I'm just going to shoot back a little bit. No big deal. But the problem was NWA seemed so pressed with it that their next album is genuinely just an entire diss to Ice Cube. So MC Ren is giving shots, Dr. Dre, Eazy-E, they're all talking shit about Ice Cube. And it literally starts when the interlude is this.
A message to Benedict Arnold. No matter how hard you try to be, here's what they think about you.
Hello, I was at the Celebrity, and I was wondering why that punk Ice Cube was crying after he got his ass beat by ATL.
Yo, the nigga was saying he's from Compton. He ain't from Compton. He was from a planet called Punk. He was fed pussy protein and pearl tongue.
How did we get here?
Damn.
This is Drake coded. Yes, so this entire album. They just go out on Ice Cube. Completely. And, yeah, so obviously the beef is revved up a little bit. A little bit. The whole album was
a lot of it.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was kind of crazy. And this made Ice Cube really mad.
He was saying, I want to play this for you. I want to be the first one to play it for you. And he played me the diss that they did to me. But we still had 2 or 3 hours on this boat, which I didn't want to be on no more. I was like, man, take me back. I'm ready to ride a ride. Take me back. So I had like 2 or 3 hours of build up. So by the time I got to my room, to my equipment, pen and pad, it just all came out.
Ice Cube claims that it took him 90 minutes to write the diss, which would be what people hail as one of the best disses of all time, No Vaseline. So let's listen to a little bit of it, just a little bit. Lewis, would you say that No Vaseline is a good disc?
1,000%, bro. That, yeah. High key.
Let's
like, listen. I would say, for sure, maybe like top three of all time.
It starts the disc, which it starts off a lot like the Benedict Arnold diss that NWA did. It's a bunch of like voice clips of songs from that song and also NWA songs that they've done in the past. One of the disses is actually, it's really funny, is one of them is, where is it? Here it is. It's actually just a voice clip of Eazy-E saying, Ice Cube writes the rhymes that I say.
As he stepped the fuck off.
So a lot of build up. He wrote this in 90 minutes. And so he kind of just goes off.
Fuck all y'all. God damn. Set it off. Used to be hard, now you just went soft. First you was down with the AK. And now I see you on a video with Mitchell Lake looking like straight bozos. I saw it coming, that's why I went solo and kept on stomping. While y'all motherfuckers moved straight out of Compton. Living with the whites, one big house, and not another nigga in sight. I started off with too much cargo, dropped 4 niggas, now I'm making all the dough. White man just ruling.
So, yes. Ice Cube goes off, and that's it. That was essentially the last we hear of this whole diss era. Everyone kind of was separating at this point anyway. We had the dissolution of the group, which is honestly for another episode if we ever get to it. And then everyone just starts turning against each other, which is sad when you think about it. Like, they were all friends. They were all just, you know, trying to make an album that was impactful. And Eazy-E went his own way. Dr. Dre, of course, went to Death Row at this time. I think MC Rem also went to Death Row. And that was just, they just started beefing with each other. the rap beef was between August 14th of 1990. That is the start of 100 Miles and Running. And it ended on October 29th, 1991, when No Vaseline came out. So, a year, essentially. NWA dissolves, and yeah, everyone went their own separate ways. NWA in total, they had 3 full-length albums. And Ice Cube only being a part, of course, Straight Outta Compton. And yeah, that's pretty much the story of the beef of what happened with Ice Cube and NWA.
A year is a long time, though.
A year is a long time. Yeah.
It's kind of crazy.
As of now, everyone's friends. They just did an interview. They've done interviews together nowadays. I think they performed for the first time in like 15 years back in 2010. Even Kendrick Lamar did an interview with all the respectfully, the living NWA members. Rest in peace, Eazy-E. Everything seems fine now. Even Dr. Dre's album Compton has Ice Cube on it as well. So, you know, they're all friends now.
Why?
Why? What do you mean?
Is he not from Compton? Like, I never understood that. He's from South Central.
It's weird because Eminem is on Compton as well.
The album. See, but that's different.
What? Why? Why
is like that different? Makes more sense to me because Interscope and like, you know, Aftermath and all that. Like, I get it. They're on the same label.
Yeah.
Ice Cube. Like, I guess it does make sense because the whole NWA thing, Straight out of Compton. Like, oh shit, let's bring them back. You know, yeah. But like, that whole thing has been debunked. Like, he's not from Compton.
Yeah.
And shit. You know? So, I don't know. Maybe I'm just, like, reading too much into it. But
I mean,
that shit's weird, bro.
It makes sense, because Compton is, like, it's framed as, like, the soundtrack of the city. It's supposed to tell, you know, what the city is. And it's primarily people who are from that city. And so, yeah, it does make sense that Ice Cube... It doesn't make sense, I agree, that Ice Cube's on it. I think it was, like, their first song in a long time, which I think people were really excited about. Let me look it up real quick. I listened to it. I thought it was okay. It was fine. I
think I only know, like, one song. I think it's a Kendrick one.
Oh, Genocide?
Not Like Us?
Oh, no. What is that shit called?
So he's on Deep Water, Genocide.
I think Deep Water's the one. Is that beat? Because I had like, did like a freestyle of that. That beat is fire to me.
Yeah. So Compton came out, and so now everyone's fine. As far as who won the rap beef, I think we all are unison.
It wasn't even close.
Yeah, it's, what are you going to do?
Like, there's no real coming back from No Vaseline.
No, none. It was embarrassing. I do like the rap beef. You don't hear it all. Well, you do hear mocking your rap beef is funny, but using audio clips and shit is so funny to me in rap beef. And they did it a lot back and forth, like pulling the songs, and it's like, oh, we're listening to America's Most Wanted, and they're just like, turn that shit off. And it's like just a little skit, and then kind of coming back with it with more audio clips. I think it's
embarrassing.
It is
like, because I know Joe Budden did it when him and Drake were beefing. Mm-hmm. And he used like an audio clip of Drake saying like Joe Budden's one of his favorite rappers or whatever.
Yeah.
And like Drake's voice, like, you know, it sounds so innocent and shit. Like he's a fucking fan, bro. Like, you could tell in his voice.
Yeah.
That he's a fan. And then like you're trying to diss Joe Budden and Joe Budden just like goes crazy.
Yeah. 100%. It's It's embarrassing, especially when technology, like, there's so much record of you.
It will always backfire.
It'll always backfire, yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, don't diss, kids. Don't listen to NWA unless you were given strict permission, I guess. but, like, we say it's for the music. We're focusing on the music.
For, like, hip-hop historic purposes, you 100% should listen to it.
Yes, agreed.
I wouldn't say go out and do the shit they was talking about doing.
No.
And, like, I wouldn't say walk up to a police officer and say what they were saying to say, you know? But
it's, honestly, it speaks volumes today. Like, it's...
Yeah, it's crazy how, like, all the way back then, like, this could be a soundtrack for today, the way the world is today.
Yeah. What they were saying to say.
It is.
I agree, but it's such a historically important hip hop time, and group for anybody who's listening to please understand like where that came from.
Yes,
and
this album shifted hip hop like in its entirety. One album from five motherfuckers from, well, not all from Compton, but you know, like
close by.
Five people. It's a whole culture.
LA's a big place.
Close by. The close by is funny. No, next door.
You can't do that. You can't do that. Compton people and LA people get pissed off.
I know.
Even though it's down the street, bro, you're pissing a whole lot of people off.
Even Inglewood is
is heated.
Yeah. I'm sorry. It's whenever I drive down to the West Coast up. I'm just like, oh, it's LA, and I'm in Santa Monica. Like, I'm not even in LA, so it's just all LA.
No, I feel like, we all have that pretty bad. Like, we all say that.
Yeah.
Like, not even on purpose. It's like, oh, yeah, I'm in LA. You're in fucking Compton and shit. Or I'm in Long Beach. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just one of those things. But yeah, there's your little history lesson on. Primarily Ice Cube versus NWA. There was some NWA history in there, of course, talking about one of their most iconic albums, the iconic album that started gangsta rap with Ice-T. And I feel like I always have to say that. I try to watch my back. And what I would say would fuel the East Coast into upping their game even more. They're the originators. They are the golden age of hip-hop, in my opinion, East Coast. And this just made them get even better. So, yeah, that's a little history right there.
Shout out Cool G Rap for, like, starting gangsta rap, essentially.
Yeah. Any final thoughts, gentlemen?
Hip-hop that dance
game,
teachers.
I'm glad you said it.
Hip-hop dance teachers... Go learn some culture, because I know you're. I know I just saw a bunch of hip hop teachers complain about how it's upsetting that they have to learn history lessons about Black people, because what the fuck is wrong with y'all? Like, that's not your fucking culture. Just go fucking learn the history lesson, then go tell it to your fucking kids.
Yeah.
Like, God, most of you don't deserve to be hip hop teachers.
Respect the culture, learn the culture, just never overstep the culture.
Yeah.
Come on. Just show respect to other people. It's really that simple.
Yeah. It's crazy. But yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, buy the CD. I'm sure it's still out there. yeah, it's great. I enjoy Straight Outta Compton, and I just like that little diss. I think it was fun just researching it and just listening to the little jabs here and there. But, yeah. With that being said, thank you guys for listening to another episode here on the Entitled Mixtape. If you want to follow us on Instagram, at the Entitled Mixtape is our handle. There's also a Discord link to the Bass Blown Entertainment family. We are a bunch of different podcasts, surprisingly all about music, but very vastly different, like completely different from what we do. Yeah, shout out to the Bassbone fam, and yeah, where can they follow you guys?
Huh?
Where can they follow you?
the fans? On Instagram.
Yeah.
I don't remember what's my handle. I forgot.
Period.
Oh. SEV period NTH is my Instagram. And then I make music. Yeah. So I'm on all streaming platforms under period SVNTH. Pronounced seventh, not Sfinth or Seth. Don't piss me off. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
LRNZO78 on Instagram. Make dance videos. I do need to post more, but posting about myself is hard. Artistry is hard. Blah, 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 blah.
Okay. At The Real Danko, you can follow me. I don't post a lot. I post pictures of dogs. So that's, you don't have to follow me. You can follow me on Album of the Year, though. I'm just Danko. you can see my shitty takes and be upset with me about it. So,
All she needed was some.
With that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I hope you guys have a fantastic half of your week. Oh, what the fuck? Happy Juneteenth, by the way.
Happy Juneteenth.
Yeah.
So hope you guys are enjoying that your holiday. Get the day off. And, of course, remember what Juneteenth
is. Go see Ken in France.
Yeah, oh, that is that on that day? It is.
Yeah, that's why I sold out. That's awesome. I tried to get tickets, bro.
Wait, to what?
Kendrick's performing.
Oh yeah. On Juneteenth? That's crazy. Yeah.
Sold out immediately.
Of course. Yeah. What the fuck else is anybody going to do?
And there was like 120 people in the queue, and there's only like a capacity of like 30,000 in the venue. So I'm like, bro, what? First performance after the whole Drake situation. You're not even saying who his friend's going to be that's performing. So it's, you already know it's going to be crazy.
It'll be
not like us finna be nutty.
Oh my god, it'll be
at the Kia Forum on Juneteenth in Inglewood, California. And yeah, pop out. Probably Baby Keem. Maybe Baby Keem, Two Phone Baby Keem will be there. Or maybe he'll just bring out everyone who had beef with Drake. That'll be great. That'd be so fun. That'll
be fucked up on Juneteenth. That'll be fucked up, but fire at the same time.
So, yeah, happy Juneteenth. Have a good day. We'll see you next time. Bye.
Dzarski.
Peace.